اوكي، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اما بعد، فنسال الله عز وجل باسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى ان يجعلنا واياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين احسنه، انه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. ثم ما بعد، فالسلام عليكم وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. When we speak about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are actually talking about the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. I mean, without knowing the names of Allah jalla wa ala, we will never be able to understand La ilaha illallah. And knowing Allah jalla wa ala is one of the many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. He said, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and know that there is no Allah, no ilah, no God, no one to who has the right to be worshipped apart from Allah. So now when Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا رَبِّ اِجْعَلْ لِي شَيْئًا أَذْكُرُكَ بِهِ. Give me something through which I can, you know, commemorate you. He wanted some special words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Musa, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, O Musa. Then Musa alayhi salam, he said, Ya Rabbi, كُلُّ عِبَادِكَ يَقُولُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, Ya Rabbi, all of your servants are saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning like, give me something special. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, Ya Musa, لَوْ وُضِعَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فِي كَفَّةٍ. Oh, sorry. If the world, the heavens and the earth would be on one side of the scale and لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ on the other side of the scale, then لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ would weigh more heavy than everything which is in the heaven and the earth. Now, in another hadith, we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ there will be a man that will be brought forth, and he will have as many sins that are written on a paper, and that if it's rolled out, it goes as far as the eye can see, meaning it is like very long, all of his sins. Then when this man looks at his sins, he says, "Khalas, I'm destroyed. I have nothing left. You have looked at this, you've spoken about that, you didn't give back a pen, you broke your promise, you shed some tears, maybe you shed some blood, you slapped someone, you broke someone's heart." Yani all the sins. He said, "I'm destroyed." The Prophet ﷺ says, 99 rolls filled with his sins. He says, "Khalas, I'm done." And then the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, that Allah Jalla wa'ala tells the angels to come, and they come with a little tiny piece of paper. A little tiny piece of paper. And the man says, "What can this paper do for me? One paper against 99 rolls of sins." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La dhulma al-yawm." Today there is no wrongdoing. And the angels will say, "La dhulma al-yawm." Today there is no wrongdoing. This is your hasana, so I have to weigh it. So they put the 99 scrolls on one side of the scale, and they put La ilaha illallah on the other side of the scale. فَوُزِنَتْ بِهِنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And La ilaha illallah weighs heavier on the scale than all of these sins. So the meaning of La ilaha illallah is something very strong. La ilaha illallah is the reason why the sky was created and elevated. La ilaha illallah is the reason why we exist. La ilaha illallah is the reason why prophets were sent and some prophets were killed. La ilaha illallah is the reason why all this universe exists and why there is Jannah and Nar. I mean, when you say La ilaha illallah, you are actually reminding yourself of something very important. And that is that we all do belong to Allah, and to Allah will we return. He is our master, we are the slaves. This is La ilaha illallah. So today we want to have a look at La ilaha illallah. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah in the world of the divine names. La ilaha illallah. So the first thing, barakallahu fikum, is the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he spoke about la ilallah, he said, خير ما قلته أنا والنبيون قبلي. The best thing which I and all the prophets before me have ever said is La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله مخلصا من قلبه دخل الجنة. If someone dies and his last words are La ilaha illallah, sincere from his or her heart, then he or she will definitely, without any single doubt, enter paradise. And this is why the majority of people, they don't die while saying La ilaha illallah. The majority of people, they might be dying and saying, where is my coffee? Other people will say, oh, how will I leave you behind me? Other people will say, I'm in pain. But who says La ilaha illallah when dying? If someone says La ilaha illallah while he or she is facing death, then this is the very proof that this person died as a sincere Muslim. Why? Because we, Allah, doesn't allow us to fake a pious death. Can you imagine? Now amongst people, we can fake our Islam. We can fake being generous. We can fake, like in prayer, going like this, like to give the impression that we are submitted to Allah. When we're alone, Allahu Akbar, Sami Allah, Alhamdulillah, nothing. So at the moment we die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow us to fake being pious. Now we come into the mosque, everybody loves us. Hi, brother. Hey, how are you? Oh, that's the brother that always prays in the first row. Oh, that's the sister that never gossips. That's all masks. When we die, there is no mask. Because the fear is too big. You can't. All masks are removed. So this is why when we die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow people to think that we are pious if we were not. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a very good example. He said, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. SubhanAllah. And some amongst you, he says, perform the deeds of the people of paradise. Some amongst you perform the deeds of the people of paradise until there is an arm length between them and paradise. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. And that which has been written will come forth. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And this person will then perform a deed of the people of hellfire, and he enters hellfire. People will look at him. Maybe how many men at home were protected by their wife and their daughters and had a very bad death? They won't tell you. People won't say like, oh, we found our dad and he died in the toilet. We found our dad and he was insulting. When he died, we found our dad looking at haram. They won't say this. They won't dishonor their dad. But how are we going to die then, really? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so if Allah jalla wa ala knows that that which you are hiding in your heart is not sincere, he will expose you the moment you die. He will expose you. He will squeeze it out of you. And you will not want the people to know it, but you might say it the moment you die. Done. So now, but on the other side, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And some amongst you perform the deeds of the people of hellfire. حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ. Until between him or her and hellfire is nothing but an arm length. Everybody says, look at that sinner. He's smoking weed. He's going out, doesn't care about prayer. He runs behind haram, drinking and doing haram things. And everybody says, this man is going to die in a very bad way. We have these kind of people that we say with our heart or with our mind. We don't share it with people. But we think, look at this guy. How disgusting is this? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some people perform the deeds of the people of hellfire. But he said, فِيمَا يَبْدُوا لِلنَّاسِ, according to the people. Wallahi, we don't know what the worshipper in the mosques do at night. And we don't know what the sinners during the day do at night. Maybe someone in the first row is looking at haram in his house when he's alone. And maybe the sinner in public is the one that goes back home on his knees crying, oh Allah, forgive me, please. What do we know? What do we know about people? Maybe this person says, Ya Rabbi, I want to get rid of smoking weed. Ya Rabbi, I don't want to live in zina. Ya Rabbi, I don't want to drink khamar. Ya Rabbi, take it away. It's killing me. I don't want to be the person that I am. This grief of that person is elevating him in ranks. It's lifting that person up. These tears, these fears, these worries. But the worshipper that pretends in front of people, here I am, look at me, reading Quran, doing my dhikr. I have my date with me on Thursday and Monday. Look, it's Maghrib, Bismillah. What if this person, not now, what if this person is doing haram at the end? Not meaning that showing your good deeds for Allah is wrong. You are allowed to show your good deeds if it's for Allah. But if you pretend to be someone who you are not, and if you are doing deeds when you're amongst people, which you wouldn't do when you're alone, good deeds, then you're faking it. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and some people sin during the day, which doesn't mean that sinning is good. I'm not inviting towards sinning. Sinning is haram and we should stay away from it. But only Allah knows how we will finish. Only Allah knows this. And this is why, what should we do if we don't want to be exposed the moment we die? That's the most important question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told the Sahaba, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were the best of people. He said, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do everything which is in your might and power to die as Muslims. We take it for granted. I'm a Muslim now, here I am, and I will be a Muslim tomorrow, and I will be a Muslim when I die. What do we know? We are not Muslim by choice. We are Muslims by His choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but it's Allah yamunnu alaykum an hadakum lil iman. It is Allah that reminds you of His blessing, that He has guided you towards Islam. You're not a Muslim thanks to your parents. You're not a Muslim thanks to your environment. If Muslims would be Muslims thanks to their parents, well, then the son of Nuh would have been a Muslim. If Muslims are Muslims thanks to their husbands, or yes, then the wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh would have been Muslims. If a Muslim man would be a Muslim thanks to his wife, then the wife, the husband of Asiya, Fir'aun, would be a Muslim. We are Muslims by his choice, nothing else. An hadakum lil iman. So now, when you know that your Islam is entirely dependent upon him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how are we going to hold on to it? That's the most crucial question that you need to ask in your life, because you're only going to die once. There's one death, not two, one. So how are you going to give your life away? You know, when we look at these great people, like this lady that was fasting for 40 years, and when she died, they told her to break her fast. She was an old lady, 60, 70 years old. They told her to break her fast. Why? Because it appears that you are very thirsty when you die. She said, don't you dare to ask me this. I've been fasting for 40 years, hoping that Allah would take my life while I am fasting. They said, why 40 years? She said, because I don't know when I'm going to die. Apart from Eid, I was fasting every day. She said, don't you dare to take this away from me. And then they left her. And then at that moment, she said, "Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughulin fakihun," and then she died. Which means the people of Jannah, in brief, today they are very happy. And then she died. 40 years she was preparing for that day. We prepare ourselves for our holiday a year in advance, 6 months in advance. We prepare it. We calculate how much money we need, how long the road will be, how long will it take, what will we do, where will we stop, where will we land, where is the transit, what is the hotel we will be going to. About Akhirah and death, nothing. While it's the only destination that we can be sure of. The only thing that we have in common here is one thing. If we're married, maybe tomorrow we're divorced. If we have children, maybe tomorrow they're taken away. If we have a job, then maybe our job can be taken away as well. If we have honor and status, this can be taken away as well. So the only thing that we can be sure of, the only thing, is that we have an appointment. And the appointment is the day that the veil will be lifted and that the unseen world will all of a sudden be tangible. You will see it before you die, not after you die, before you die. The Messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no one amongst you, or he will see his or her place in paradise or hell before their soul leaves their body. While you are alive, this is when you're on your deathbed, and when people hear you say, because you're now that you see the unseen, you are no longer allowed to talk to the world of those who do not see the unseen. Otherwise, everybody would believe. If everybody who dies would say, I see the angels, then everybody would believe. So now you're not allowed to speak, alas, and you see it. What if you know that you're at this instance being told that your destination is hell? You can't go back. You can't go back. You're trying to keep your soul to yourself in your body. This is what nazi'ati gharqa. Nazi'at, naza means pulling out with force. It's the angels that pull out your soul with force. Why with force? Because your soul is holding on to every part of the body because it knows that the pain which will follow is unbearable. So she prefers to stay in the body while she's beaten by the angels. يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ says Allah. They are hitting their faces and their backs. But this pain is more beloved to them than giving their soul. Because when they leave their body, it's worse. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ And the agonies of death come to you. Look, taste. This is what you were running away from. So now, when everybody will see the hereafter, the world of the unseen before dying, and if it's bad, you don't want to leave your body. And if it's good, you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Then it will be like your soul will be poured out like water from a can. You know when it goes that. It just goes like that. Tick, 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 tick. There you are. This is how your soul will leave your body. Slowly, gently, without any problem. So now, if this is our appointment, what are we doing to prepare ourselves for this moment? If this is not what concerns us, if this is not what we are busy with, then we are losing very precious time. We are losing time because our appointment can be now, can be tomorrow, can be tonight. You might not wake up. We don't know. So I'm going to give three keys, inshallah, which will help us to die while saying La ilaha illallah, the best of death, while saying La ilaha illallah, or as we said, not being exposed when we die. The first thing is, one, don't have any hidden rooms in your life. Look at your life as a house, and at your deeds as rooms. You should be so pure, so genuine, that at any instance in your life, during day or night, if the walls were to collapse and the world would see you, that you would have nothing to be ashamed for. This is when you know that you are pious. Pious outside is for everybody. Even the munafiqun were pious. Even the hypocrites in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did Allah Jalla wa'ala Allah say about them? وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ When you look at them, their appearance pleases you. And when they talk, you listen to their words, but they're hypocrites. They were praying amongst the prayers. They were praying amongst the people who used to pray. They used to read Quran. So what is it all about? Well, no hidden rooms. Allah Jalla Ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ, that day, that which is in the heart will be exposed. It is no longer about did you pray. So for whom did you pray? It's no longer did you give a sadaqah. It's about for whom did you give the sadaqah? Who were you longing for when you were doing this? For whom were you being pious? Were you more pious when you were in public than when you were alone? Well, that's a form of hypocrisy. So the first thing that we need to do is have no hidden rooms. That's one. Two, get rid of a sin that you can't get rid of. Everybody has a sin that he or she can't get rid of. It can be sins of the heart, not being pleased with the decree of Allah. It can be gossiping. It can be insulting. It can be breaking promises. It can be breaking hearts. It can be listening to haram. It can be looking at haram. It can be so many different things. And do you know what's dangerous? If you have a sin in your life that always keeps on showing its face, then the possibility of this being a sin you might perform while dying is very true. If you keep on committing the sin, then you might die while committing this sin, while gossiping or while slandering or whatever that you have in your head. Imagine that you die like that. You know, a sin can also be not paying attention, not giving the right to your wife and children or husband and children. I mean, would you like to die when you leave your house and your wife says, where are you going? Ah, just leave me alone. Boom. Slam the door. Go away. Come back. Wife is dead. That were your last words. You know? Or what if that were your last words and you died? You have said, please come home soon today. I don't want to see you tonight. Boom. Drive away. You die. Last thing that your wife heard was, I don't want to see you. Even if she's going to miss you, but it will be very bitter. Not bitter, like sun in Urdu. Is it bitter? Yeah. It will be very bitter. She will always remember this moment. So when you go out like that and you come back, you say, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have gone like this. Like the sunnah of the Prophet, he would hug his wife before going or whatever. And then he would go. If you now die, the last moment she thinks of was the last thing he did was hugging me. I think he really loved me. You know? That's the last thing. Or your child, your daughter, your son, before you're going out, daddy, please, one hug. Daddy, please, one hug. Not now. I got to go to my job. Boom. Last thing, when a child is 5 years, it will say so. My mother, daddy died. She said, he didn't want to hug me anyway. Last thing, never leave people behind in a way that you would regret. Now, to find them after they die. I mean, you don't do this. Don't. Okay? So what are we going to do? So the first thing was no hidden rooms. Get rid of the sins or of the sin that keeps on coming back every time. Sometimes it's a week, then it's 2 weeks, then it's after 6 months, then it comes back. This sin, crush it. Get rid of it and throw it away. Second thing is, what was the second thing? What was I explaining?
No hidden rooms, free. You said you're getting free keys.
Yes. So the second one was that you, at any time that walls would collapse in your life, that you wouldn't have anything to be ashamed for, or that you would regret. That's the second thing. You know. So this is a very important one. Know that, as I said, the sin that we keep on committing is a sin that might knock on our doors when we die. And we don't want to leave people with a bad opinion of us. And we don't want people to die while having a wrong or a negative opinion of us. Then number three is begging. You know what Allah likes most? Acknowledging that you know that you don't deserve anything. This is when Allah loves you. When you acknowledge, Ya Rabbi, I'm no one. Ya Rabbi, I'm nothing. Ya Rabbi, I detest the bad qualities, the bad traits that I have. Ya Rabbi, I detest them. Some people go so far to say, Ya Rabbi, because sometimes you might ask Allah something, but you don't feel it. You say, for example, you gossip. Ya Rabbi, please let me stop gossiping. But while you ask it, you feel nothing. So you say, Ya Rabbi, you dig deep. Accept my dua like someone who means it. Because I don't even have the pure heart wherein I am aware how bad it is what I'm trying to get rid of. So the more sincere, the more pure you are with Allah, the more true you are, the more likely your dua will be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah accepts the supplications of the broken-hearted. Allah accepts the dua of the broken-hearted, not of the one that sit there and go, oh, Ya Rabbi, yes, and this and that. And you feel this is nothing. It's when you dig. You say, Ya Rabbi, please, come on. I want to dig in me. I even don't feel that I'm talking to you. Ya Rabbi, please open this door. I've been longing for it for so long. Please don't hold back on me. You know, and when you dig and you keep on digging, then at a certain moment, there will be a little tiny tear coming out of your eyes. And then you know, okay, my soul is living again. It's feeling, it's breathing, it's connecting. So these three things are one of the most important things, you know, and the fourth thing, I said three, but the fourth thing, which will actually protect you after begging, is the Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for husn al-khitam, for a good ending. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always to let you die. Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis-salihin. It's even dua in the Quran. Tawaffani musliman was a dua of a prophet. Yes, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he said, oh Allah, let me die as a Muslim. I mean, prophets were asking it. So why don't we? Another thing is, if you're a true believer heading for your judgment, you don't have time to judge people. You don't have time. The moment you are judging people, you are forgetting to judge yourself. And this is why Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah azza wa jal, he said in his book, Tanbih al-Mukhtarin, he said, I'm really amazed or astonished or, you know, surprised that some people who have more than 10 shortcomings and flaws, and they know that they have them, right? Like, we know what our shortcomings are, isn't it? We all know. And there are some that are hidden for us. And the closer we will get to Allah, the more we will see them. This is what a pure soul does. It exposes to you your shortcomings. So the closer you are to Allah, the worse you will think of yourself. Because you see more mistakes. So now, it's the same thing. When for example, you do karate or judo, you have the white belt. You don't see all the details. You just go this, you don't see your mistakes. But then when you go to a black belt, for example, you said, how was I doing that? And I was thinking that everything was all right. Now, and when you have a black belt and you compare yourself to a first dan, second dan, third dan, or whatever, you will feel small. So the bigger your knowledge of something, the more you are sure of your shortcomings. So Imam Sha'rani says, some people have 10 flaws and they keep on loving themselves. And they think that they see one flaw in their brother and they kick him out of their lives. Is this justice? You have 10 flaws and you love yourself in the mirror. Oh, subhanAllah, we all think that we still look the same as when we look when we were 20. We say, I'm sorry, are you 20? 19. So for you, I'm actually talking in the future. Okay. Anyway, how old are you? 23. Okay. So it's for the other generation. So anyway, sometimes when we look into the mirror, we don't see how much we have changed, right? Because we see ourselves every day. But then when we meet a friend that we hadn't seen for 10 years, we say, he really changed. Well, he thinks the same about us, but we just don't know it. You know, that's the way we change. So Imam Shahrani, Allah just says, like when you have 10 flaws and you keep on loving yourself, oh, look at me. And then the belly sticks a bit out, but we don't see it. It always looks smaller than it really is. You know, the gray hairs are not as much as we... Gray hair is beautiful, by the way. Yeah. So, mashallah. So when you see these flaws in your brother, you kick him out of your life for one mistake. But you keep on loving yourself while you have 10 mistakes. And Allah says in the Quran, be just even towards yourselves. So why did you kick him out? Why don't you kick yourself out? So this is barakallahu fikum. There is no time to judge. Life is too busy. Don't judge people. Educate people, of course. If you see your child sinning or doing wrong things, you correct your child. But it's really about looking for mistakes in people. Okay. Another one, which is very important, is, subhanAllah, once there was a man of Bani Israel, like Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullah, as we just mentioned, in Riqat wal Buka, or Manamat. And he said a man of Bani Israel died, and he was a young man, 19 years old. May Allah give you a long life. And he was known for his worship. But when he died, people saw him in a dream. And they asked, what did Allah do with you? He said, I don't know yet. I don't know what my destination will be. Usually in your grave, you see Jannah or you see Nar. He said, I don't know. They said, why? He said, well, one day I was collecting some wood for someone. And there was a small little tiny branch. How do you call these tiny branches?
Twig.
There was a small little twig that fell on the ground, which I picked up. And I cleaned my teeth with it. And when I gave the wood to that man, after that, I didn't think about it anymore. And he said, and when I died, it was this twig that Allah mentioned. He said, I will not show you your destination until you see if this person has forgiven you or not. Because his forgiveness can get you to Jannah. And he not forgiving you can get you to Nar. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And someone who does an atom weight of good will see it, and someone who does an atom weight of bad will see it. So these things can get you into Nar. When you park your car and you go kick, and you feel it, but you do as you look around, okay, nobody saw it. Alhamdulillah. Nobody saw it? Nobody. This is very problematic. Like, okay, good. That little scratch, that scratch on the car. When the person is going to sell the car, maybe a scratch on the car can reduce the value of the car, can it? My car trader? It can. So you drive away. 1 year later, maybe this person didn't see it, but it's a scratch. And then 1 year later, he sells the car. People say, I'm sorry. The scratch here, it's minus 100 pounds. I don't know. He's going to, you know. So you actually were the cause that this person lost money. These 100 pounds will turn into sayyat. And he will lose them on the day of judgment. He will have no compassion, even if it was your own mother or father. Nobody will have any compassion on the day of judgment. So that scratch on the car will turn into sayyat yawm al-qiyamah. And these 100 pounds might turn into sayyat that drag you to hell. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And this is why Imam Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah azza wa jal, mentioned, like in his introduction to his Fath al-Bari, that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah azza wa jal, one day was practicing, you know, how to shoot, how do you say that? He was practicing archery, right? So, and one of his arrows, yes, touched a wooden pole, a wooden pillar of a wooden bridge. You know, it just went like this, tack, and there was a small scratch on the bridge. Nobody would see it. It was nothing. The face of Imam Bukhari turned pale. He said, whose bridge is this? They said, Imam Bukhari, it's just little, you know, it's wood, it's little scratch. He said, no, whose bridge is this? They didn't know. So he was looking for weeks to find the owner of this bridge. He stopped teaching hadith until he found the owner of the bridge. And they said, is that your bridge? He says, please, let me, you know, pay you. And this man was astonished. He said, but I even don't see it. He says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرَّ يَرَى. The one that does an atom weight of bad will see it. So all these little atom weights are following us. They're like a tail behind us, a trail that we have left behind us. And wallahi, it's following us and it might strangle us. What are we going to do? Wallahi, every little gossip, every little thing that we have forgotten about, following us, waiting for us to be either forgiven, but if we have forgotten, we can't be forgiven. Because Allah doesn't forgive sins between servants. He does not. He forgives sins between you and him. But sins between you and creation will only be forgiven if the one that you have wronged either forgives you, or either that you established the wrong, or that you rectified the wrong that you have done. How are you going to do this? How we are going to do this is by one, going with our minds over everything we did in our lives. Now you're still young, 1923, I'm 42. And you try to think about of so many things that, as many things as possible, you write them down. One day I said this to that person. You write everything down. Next day you think. You try for a long period of time, and then you're going to rectify all of it. And then you're going to think about the things you did, but who you've forgotten the owner of, or that you don't know. Like in a car, for example, you're driving your car on a highway, and a person drives by and does something really stupid. You know, instead of, you know, he just comes in front of your car, and then he pushes on his brake, and then he continues. He doesn't hear what you say. I will say the most gentle thing. Oh, you stupid driver. I'm sure people say different things. Oh, you stupid driver. Alas, oh, you stupid driver. This person goes away, maybe without any sayyat. Yes, he was driving in the wrong way. But when you insulted him, it follows you. And the biggest gossip is the family gossip. When wife and husband are together because they feel they are one, they feel that they are allowed to gossip because they're one. It's a bit strange today. Yes, I think so. Yes. Or you leave a family, right? And you sat at the same table. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you so much for your hospitality. It was so good food. Really, may Allah bless you, bless your hands, bless your life, your children. You go away, you leave that family, and that family thinks, mashallah, they love us so much. First thing in the car, you slam the door, boom, boom. Really, their biryani, I don't know what they did with it, huh? You know? And then she said that she made the chicken spicy. I did you? Subhanallah. All of this, we think it's okay because we're husband and wife. Did you see how their child behaved? Yeah, it was running around like a monkey. Yeah, really, yeah. So now what you are doing, this family, husband and wife gossip, is the killer. If now you have the strength in your own family, when your husband or your wife wants to gossip, you say, la. You say, la, hold it. If you want to gossip, gossip with the walls. Gossip with the door. But don't gossip with anything which has a soul, because it will testify for you or against you, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the family gossip is the most easy one. And that's where the majority of people go wrong. We gossip about what we see. So what are we going to do? Well, from now on, one, we're going to rectify what is behind us. How many atom weights, man? I can't even imagine myself. When you really try to imagine all of our wrongs being transformed into atom weights, like a tail, I go everywhere I go. And they might come the moment I die. Then I want to say, La ilaha illallah, but the atom weights are so many that it pushes on my chest and I die. So let us get rid of them. That's one. Two, look into the future and let us say, from now on, I won't wrong anyone an atom weight. And if the sword of justice, figuratively speaking, if the sword of justice is against me, let it be against me. Because Allah's justice towards me is more beloved to me, even if it breaks me down, than my justice, which will eventually be my demolisher on the day of judgment. A brave man and a brave woman is so brave that they use the haqq against themselves, that they use the truth against them when they know that they are wrong. This is a very difficult one, because very often when we talk about rights and wrongs, we always think that we are right. We have a dispute with people, they're wrong. Something went wrong in a deal, they are wrong. They didn't appreciate me. They weren't on time. They changed their face. They this, they that. Like we are a king on a throne and everybody's wrong. I'm never wrong. We have to go by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And submitting to His justice is an honor. Naam ya Rabbi. If this is where I went wrong, your haqq is more important to me than mine. Okay? So this is another way to... What's the time? Allahu Akbar. Okay, so this is another way how to prepare yourself to die in the best of ways. Okay? So these things are very important. And by Allah, the cure for everything is in fasting and night prayer. Fasting and night prayer. Night prayer, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Qiyamul Layl is da'bu salihina qablakum, was the habit of the pious people before you. And he said it removes you from sins, it elevates you in rank, and it expiates your sins. You see this? That's what night prayer does. And this is why night prayer at the very beginning in Islam was obligatory. Do you know that night prayer was obligatory? Praying at night, not the five prayers. Qiyamul Layl was obligatory. And the scholars differ. Was it 6 months or was it 18 months? 18 months. People had to pray during the night. Why? Because it transforms your soul. Because you learn to give up things to find the one you want. You want to find Allah? Well, wake up during the night. Fast during the day. And behave well and stay away from haram. If you are able to do the last things I've said, pray during the night, even if it's 15 minutes. Fast during the day, even if it's 3 days a month. Stay away from haram. And what was the other thing I said? I mentioned four.
Ask for forgiveness.
Ask for forgiveness.
To the other human beings, if you've wronged them.
Naam. So, fasting during the night. During the day. Yes, not during the night. Fasting during the night is not accepted anyway. So, you pray during the night. You fast during the day. What was the third thing I said? And forget what I say. Stay away from haram and behave in a good way. Don't wrong anybody. If you do these four things, you are a very, very, very strong believer. Even if you don't memorize the Quran, you don't have a lot of knowledge, you're not an imam, you're not a sheikh, you pray during the night. Of course, your five prayers and so forth. But pray during the night. Fast during the day, even if it's 3 days a month. And stay away from haram. Three, four, and behave well. in your business, in your family, with your neighbors, with people. If you do this, mashallah, you are my example. You already are, but you would even be more. These are the people we are looking for, Allah. After 24 years of studying, which I have been doing, I'm studying until today. I started when I was 18. I study every day. If you now ask me, what impresses you? For me, it is not somebody knowing the 10 qira'at. It is not someone memorizing thousands of hadith. It is not someone reciting the Quran in a very good way. For me, it is someone with a good behavior that doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, doesn't break promises, is patient, controls his anger, doesn't make you cry, doesn't do wrong, smiles even when things go wrong. Wallahi, this is the person. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ, when someone comes to you whose deen and whose akhlaq and whose well behavior impresses you, then marry him. This is what he said. He didn't say when a scholar comes to you. He didn't say when a rich man who spends his money fi sabilillah comes to you. When a Quran reciter comes to you. When the Imam of Mecca comes to you. When the hadith memorizer comes to you. No. He said someone with deen, meaning he sticks to the deen. He does halal, stays away from haram. And his akhlaq is good. That's it. If he found those kind of men worthy to marry a daughter, that means that they are the best of people. Those who do halal, stay away from haram, and have a good character. For the rest, it's not important. A man with a lot of money, with deen, but a bad behavior, he will make your daughter unhappy. A man with a lot of money, with good behavior, but no deen, he won't make your daughter everlastingly happy. Deen and khuluq, and the rest will be okay. No. Allahu a'lam. If you have any questions about the topic, then please ask me. Yes, sir.
You talked about the roles of your sins and everything.
No.
And try and clean them up.
Yes.
But look forward to doing the right thing from now on.
Yes.
68-year-old man, and I use the word old man with it.
You look very young, by the way.
But to find the people who you sit, and, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, everybody sit, and I'll put my hand up first and say, my sheep might be, I don't know, I can't see. That's
yes.
not how I do. You know, you won't know.
And yes.
Either you won't know who they are now, press the car, and I'd be guilty of that. You think, oh, no, I wouldn't look that
yes.
carefully to see that in the ear line.
Yes.
Or I can't see a dent.
Not yes. Yes.
And things like that. So how do you put those things?
Okay. There? So if it is a wrong doing towards someone who we can't get hold of, that we don't remember, then there are two things to do. If it has to do with money, like for example, that scratch that will decrease the worth of the car for £100, for example, you estimate it.
Yeah.
Then you're going to give away charity of £100. In someone else's name. And you are going to give it to someone. You said, there's someone who wants to give you this. It's not mine. And you give it. You don't know the name of the person. He said, but the person doesn't want to be known. You give it, and your intention is to give it in the name of that person that you have wronged. You see. You can give either sadaqah. If it's not to do, it has not to do with money. For example, saying something wrong about someone on television or in the car on the road. Then you are going to make dua for these people. You're going to say, Ya Rabbi, everybody that I have insulted, Ya Rabbi, without him hearing me, or that I have gossiped about without him or her hearing me, Ya Rabbi, give them lights in their lives. Ya Rabbi, bless them. Bless their children. Bless them wherever they are. Ya Rabbi, if they are having a problem now, Ya Rabbi, I ask you, by your most beautiful names, to take away this problem and to draw a smile on their faces. You might not know how your dua might actually really change their lives. So either by dua or by giving charity. And you do this for everything you can remember, but that you cannot connect to anybody in particular.
Just follow up. Just one.
Yes, sir.
So I went to Umrah, and there's a person, Allah, and the person who was very close to me, and I felt this the distance.
Yes.
So when I went to Umrah, you know, I asked him, you know, forgive me everything. He said, I've forgiven you. Yeah. So Alhamdulillah, you know, forgive me. But I don't feel that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's told me, literally told me, I've forgiven you. But I still today sit here to tell you this.
Yes. So
I personally don't feel
that's because you have a heart at the right place.
Because I have done it. So
yes.
To take him, what have I done? Forgive me. But you can't ask that question. He's forgiven you. And that's the end.
Allah yes. Then you have to watch out that it doesn't turn into waswasa for eventually you taking your distance from this person. You see, because you say, I don't know what's wrong. I feel he's not the same as before. Maybe just try to forget it, leave it, because otherwise it's an arrow that shaitan or the nafs will use against you. Wa yakum. Yes, sir. Certainly.
We're talking a bit about getting closer to Allah, being accepted by Him. And from what I've heard, that part of the process often is Allah breaks your love for things other than Him. And that is a process to get closer to Him as well, because He wants you to be all for Him.
Yes.
If you can see some of that, are there then beyond that, are there other, quite often it's explained as stages, you go through these stages.
Yes.
Beyond that, are there other stages?
Well, often when things go wrong, because they're an obstacle between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one perseveres, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person back what was taken away from him. Of course, if it is a life that has been taken away, it can't be given back unless it is in the hereafter. But they say the best thing when you see that things in your life are disturbed, you know, like it can be the way you connect to, the way that one connects to his wife or husband or children or parents, then it is by putting barakah in these things that are being disturbed, like trying to use them to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then very often, like time, and when he decided that he would now use his car to do good things, well, it never broke down again. And we believe that Allah can do this. I mean, from a scientifical point of view, this can't be true, but we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surpasses these things. So I understood your question in a wrong way, but I'm sorry. Yeah. Inshallah, I will be leaving in 2 minutes. Inshallah, if you want me to write down the email, or should I give it to you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Email address for yourself,
okay? Excuse me? No, it is for someone to connect to my wife for some translations. No, I'm not going to mention it like this. No. I'm going to write it down. Okay. Good. Are there any more questions? No?
Thank you.
Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. My very few.